Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Baba Batra Daf Mem Zayin Amud Bet, and about to take a look at the very famous ruling of Rav Huna that was referred to already in the previous podcast, or at least the topic was, and that is the topic of a coerced sale. I'm Rav Huna. Tal Yuhu V'Zavin Zvinei Zvinei. If a person is literally hung up to sell, meaning somebody hangs him up, threatens to kill him if he doesn't sell, then zvine zvine, the sale is still good. Now we're assuming here that a proper kinyan was made and that money exchanged hands. In other words, he didn't want to sell his land, was forced to. My time, why is that? So let's, several possibilities. First of all, call the mazbinini, shilav dani shlavi mazbin. Anything a person sells, they're only selling because they're coerced, they're broke, they need cash. So every sale has got some coercion. Afilu hachi is vine zvine. Nonetheless, every sale is valid. So therefore, same thing here. V'dilma shani unsa d'nafshim unsa d'achrini. Perhaps we can't make that analogy. We can't apply that because they're disanalogous. When a person feels an inner compulsion to sell because he has to make a choice between feeding his family and holding onto the land or something, that's his own choice. But when somebody else coerces him, that really does not follow the same model as a decision to give up something in order to get cash. So that's no good proof. Ella Kidatanya, we have the following braita based on the pasuk of the Bnei Ve'yikra. The Torah says, "Vekriv oto," person brings a korban. Melameh shekofin oto, that means that if a person, for instance, in the case of an ola, makes a neder to bring the korban, in a dava, he's forced to bring it. Yachol bal korcho, I might think he could really actually be forced the whole way and bring it, claiming I don't want to be here, and that would be valid. Talmud Lomar Lirtsono. Therefore, the next line says, Yakrioto Lirtsono. Alright, Haketzad, how does that work? Kofin Oto Lirtsono literally means, at least in Rabbinic Hebrew, means according to his will. For by his own free will. Haketzad, so how do we resolve these two ideas? Kofin Oto Achumar Rotsani. We force him until he brings it and says, I'm doing it voluntarily. Which means that even though we're coercing him, nonetheless, it's a valid act. So that could be the model for Rav Huna. No, v'dilma shani hatam d'nechalei d'teavalei kapara. Perhaps there, he really does want to bring it, because he wants to achieve kapara. So what we're doing is, to take a page out of the Rambam in Hilchot Gerushin, we're really kind of discovering his real will. Ve'elam yiseifa. The next part of that braita compares korbanot to another area of halacha, which is not an issue of kapara. V'chein atamotze b'gitein hashim. The same rule applies to a get, the sugi at the very end of gittin. If a person doesn't want to give a get, Beitin forces him, but if it's a case where Beitin does force him, the recalcitrant husband, but as part of the get, he has serotzani, and it's valid. Again, there is another reason that we would say that when he says rotzani, he's really revealing what he does feel, which is he really does want to do the right thing. And like the Rambam says, yitzro, and so. In this case, his yitzhar got the best of him, but his real will is to give it. That's not the case in a sale. Ela svarahu. The answer is simply svara. Agav unse gamar makne. Since he's forced, since his life is under threat, since whatever threat this person is holding over him is so large, he decides to make the sale. In other words, the sale is made with a full heart, meaning he is completely committed or resigned to the sale. And that's all we need. Now, motiv Rav Yehuda challenges his colleague Rav Huna. Get tamil sevi Yisrael kasher va'akum pasul. The mission at the very end of Gittin says that a forced get by a Beit Din is valid, but by a non-Jewish court is invalid. Parenthetically, va'akum chovino to v'amrim lo'asim ashi Yisrael melecha. But if a non-Jewish court forces him and whips him and says, do what the Jewish Beit Din tells you, then that's valid. But the question is, why is the middle case no good? V'amai hatam namine magavun segamar magarish. Why don't we say when the non-Jewish court is punishing you or threatening you with jail, that you, when you give the get, you really do intend to give it, or that you've resigned yourself to it, and say that that's valid. And the answer is, Ha'itmar alamar m'shashayi d'vartar afilu ba'akum kasher. M'shashayi, commenting on the Mishnah, said, really midoraita, even if the non-Jewish court forces you, it's valid. Ma'atam amru ba'akum pasul. So why did the rabbis say that that's no good? K'dei shelo te'kol achat v'achat, olach l'tol atzman b'yad akum v'kad atzman b'yad ba'ala. That every woman who has a little dissatisfaction in her marriage is going to go run to the non-Jewish court or to a non-Jewish strongman, and he'll force, or they'll force the husband, and she'll get away from her husband. So we don't want that to happen. So we said it's invalid, which means midoraita is valid, which totally supports Rav Huna, that any time you're coerced to do something, once the reality is you resign yourself to it, it's done, and it's valid. Motiv Rav Hamnuna is Rav Hamnuna that brought the following challenge. We dealt with in the last podcast. Lakach misikri kon v'chazav lakach malabayit. If you buy land from a land thief, the sikari, and then you go back and buy it, meaning you get a confirmation of the sale from the original proper owner, mekcho batel, it's no good. V'amai, hatam namin emagav unsegar makni. Why don't we say that the malabayit, since he has no choice, is really making a good kinyan and it should be yours? The answer is Hayid Marla Marav Lo Shana Vela Demar Lo Lecha Zekukni. Oh, we already saw that Rav said that the invalidity of the Kenyan from the in the case of the Sikari is only if the Balabayit says to you, the guy who's trying to confirm the purchase, Lecha Zekukni. He doesn't write anything down. He says, okay, take the land. Al Bishtar, but if the Balabayit writes a star, then Kana, then it's valid. So you see that once he commits himself Bishtar, even though he's doing it certainly under duress, the land was already taken from him, and he has no recourse. Nonetheless, since he resigned himself to it, it's valid. But that's what works according to Rav. Ulishmuel damar af Bishtar nami lo Kana, but Rav Shmuel, if you recall, says, we saw this yesterday in the previous podcast, that even if he wrote a star, it's still invalid. My ikalamemar, the answer is Moda Shmuel Hechadiyav Zuzi. Shmuel agrees that if the fellow gives money to the Balabayit, the purchaser gives money to the original owner, that it's certainly valid. Alright, so therefore, in the same way, even though the original owner gave it up under duress, nonetheless, since he got money, the deal is valid. Rabibi Nimasayim Bamishmeda Rav Nachman, remember Rabibi had an add-on quoting Rav Nachman's comment on Shmuel, which was, Karka in the Maut Yesh, though that even in such a case, you don't keep the land, but you do keep the money. That's in the case, remember, where Rav Huna said, any of the people in our Mishnah who brought a Raya, get to keep the land except for a Goslin. And Rav Nachman said that a Goslin can never keep the land, but he will get the money back if we have Edim that he paid. So Michael and Amar, what that proves to you is that the sale under duress is never good, and all you get is your money back. The answer is Rabibi Meimrahu. Rabibi has his own independent statement. It's him quoting Rav Nachman. Rav Nahuna doesn't accept it, meaning either he disagrees that Rav Nachman said it, or he disagrees with Rav Nachman, which is perfectly legit. Alright, that's Rav Huna. Now Amar Rava, Hilchata Taliyuv Zavin Zvine Zvine. Rava says the halacha is like Rav Huna, that if somebody sells something under duress, the sale is valid. V'lo amran elad b'sadestama. That's only if the guy comes up to you and says, you got a few fields, and he says, I'm putting a gun to your head, sell me one of your fields, and double the market value, and I'll pay you. Al b'sadestu, but if he says, I want that field, lo. Because then he didn't give you any choice. This way, you had some sort of choice which field to sell him. But if he said, I want that field, right, akin to Achav with Navot, then it's no good. Uvesadezu Nami is a little misleading because we're really turning back. We're saying even if he says Besadezu, it still may be valid. That's if the seller under duress didn't count out the money. He just took it and said, okay, fine. But if he sits there and counts out the money, lo, because he clearly seems to be dealing with it now as a fait accompli, but nonetheless one that he's a partner to. And so even Besadezu would be valid. By the way, this is only true if the seller couldn't get out of the deal. If he had some way to get out of it and didn't, lo, because he's clearly interested in being there, has accepted his role here as a seller, and is going with it. By the way, in all these cases, the sale is valid. So in other words, according to Rava, this is almost the case anyways. He says the only time that it's invalid is if the guy says besadezu, and when he gives you the money, you don't count it out, and you had no other way to get out of it. But if he said sadestam, or he said sadezu, and you counted the money out, or in any one of these cases, you had some way to wiggle out of it and didn't wiggle out of it, then the sale is good. And now, and what's his proof? V'hilchata, what's the halacha? B'chulu davus v'nizvini. Even in sadezu, even if you couldn't get out of it, even if you didn't count the money, the sale is still valid. Meaning, blanket, zvine. V'afilu v'sadezu. Why? What's the proof? Taisha k'sadezu dami. Anytime you force a woman to accept marriage, it's sadezu. You're pointing to a particular woman. That's what I'm saying, a woman. V'amar meimar, tell you v'kadish, kiddush av kiddushin. If you force a woman to accept kiddushin, the kiddushin are valid. Mi'ikra din, we'll see, we're going to step back from that practically, but the kiddushin are valid, which means that sadezu, and she has no way to wiggle out of it, and she's not necessarily counting the money, nonetheless, the kiddushin are valid. So you see that talyuva zavin zvine zvine in every case. Now, Bar Ravashi then comments on it and says, be'isha vadai kiddushin lo havu. The kiddushin are invalid. But now notice, He's not going to say invalid inherently, but invalid practically. Hu asa shelo hogen, meaning this guy behaved inappropriately, obviously forcing a woman to accept kiddushin under some threat. Fichach asui mo shelo kohogen. Therefore, the rabbis deal with him sort of in kind. V'yafkin rabbanon kiddushin minei. The rabbanon take away his kiddushin. This is all based on the principle Tosfos mentions in several places that when a person gives kiddushin, he explicitly says kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. And Kedat Moshe means according to the Torah, and Yisrael means the Beit Din. So whatever the Beit Din says is valid, Kedushin is valid. And if the Beit Din decides that my Kedushin are no good, I agree that they're taken away. So therefore, when he gives the money to her that she's forced to take, the Rabbanan say that money is a gift and not Kedushin. So Amarli Ravina Ravashi is a famous question that shows up every time the sugya is repeated in Ketubot and in Gittin and in Yifamot and here. Amarli Ravina Ravashi, Tenach Tekadish Bekaspa. This is true. I understand if he gives her Kiddushin of Kesef, right, then the way Rashi reads it here, it means, I can understand you, we regard the money as a gift. Kaddish Mabia Maikal member. What if he did the Kiddushin Mabia? How do we reinterpret that bia to make them non-married? So, Malaysia, Rabbanon, the bila, tell biladznut. Rabbanon are willing to go so far as to say his bia is biladznut, and it's meaningless as far as marriage goes, and they're not related at all. She doesn't need to get it. It's all annulled. Okay, a story. Tavi tala lepape akinara vizavin. This fellow named Tavi hung up Pape, another fellow, on a tree, it might have been like a plum tree or something, and forced him to sell. In other words, he forced him under duress. Chatam Rav Mar Bachana Amoda Ve'ashkalta. Rav Mar Bachana was an aide on the Moda, meaning that Papi later went to the Beit Din and said, I'm protesting that this sale was under duress. He also signed on the Shtar Mecher of the sale. So Amar Rav Huna, Man Dechatim Amoda Shaper Chatim, Man Dechatim Ashkalta Shaper Chatim. So Rav Huna's comment, at least before we clarify it, sounded like he said, well, whoever signs on either document is fine. So we say, Manafshach, Imoda lo ashkalti, vishkalta lo moda. If there's a moda here, there's no valid sale. And if there's a valid sale, then there's no moda. Meaning, how can you sign on both? How can you sign on a document that says the sale is valid, and then another document said the sale is under duress and invalid? Tzachigamar, ilav moda, mandachatim ashkalta shaperchatim. Here's what Rav Huna meant. If it were not for the moda, then the sale is valid. Why is the sale valid? Rav Huna l'tamei, dam Rav Huna tzal yivazavin, zvine zvine. Rav Huna himself is the author of the statement. It says a sale under duress is valid. So therefore, if I'm witnessing a sale under duress and I sign, that's a perfectly good signature. Aini, is that really true? V'yamar Rav Nach, meaning, can we now accept this fellow signed on the shtar, Rav Barachana, on the shtar mecher. Then he went ahead and signed as an aide on the moda that Papi was protesting that he was forced by Tavi to make the sale. So how could his later signature be good? This is from the second paragraph of Tubot. If Edim come along and say, yes, we signed the shtar, but it was a shtar amana, meaning nothing really changed hands. It was only a promise of a later loan or something, but it can't be used for collection, therefore it should not be used. And the money, we don't believe him. If they say the star that we signed was written under duress, ain't no money, we don't believe them. So the answer that we give is honey mini mili alpeh. That's only if they state balpeh that the star was no good. Dloati alpeh mara the star, because their statement can't counteract the validity of the written star. Of a star, but if they write a star, if they sign on a star of moda, ati star, mara la star, that star can uproot the earlier star of mecher. So Rabbi Baruch Hanna's second signature can counteract or countermand his first. All right, let's look at that. Gufam Rav Nachman Amana Yudvarin Amanim Moda Yudvarin Amanim. But Mar Rav Ashi disagrees. Says Amana Yudvarin Amanim Moda Yudvarin Amanim. If they write that, if they say that that star was a star Moda, we do believe them. Why? Because what's the whole reason we don't believe them? Because saying I signed on a star that was illegitimate is basically saying I did an act of reshut. And Ein Adam Misim Atzmo Rasha. We don't believe a person to testify about himself that he did an act of wickedness. So Mar Rav Ashi says, signing a shtar moda, saying that what I signed was a shtar moda is not an act of wickedness. Shuzeni tamli katev. You're allowed to write a shtar like that, as we saw. Vezelun tamli katev, but a shtar amona you're really not supposed to sign. So to say amona hayudvarinu means you're effectively admitting that you signed something you shouldn't have signed, so we don't accept it. But moda yudvarinu is something you were allowed to sign, and therefore we do believe it. So even Baal Peh, certainly in our case where Abba Brachana signed the shtar moda, counteracting the shtar mecher that he signed on, that moda is still valid. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and then we're going to take a look at the next line in the Mishnah, which is that a man cannot be machzik benichse ishto, and we'll see the implications of that further on. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.